You're listening to a podcast by Abide Church and Pastor Dan DeBell in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We pray this podcast helps you live, love, and look more like Jesus this week. Enjoy the message.
Hey, today we're continuing in a series that we're calling Family Benefits, and we're studying Psalm 103. So if you brought your Bible, go ahead and go to Psalm 103. We're going to study the first five verses here, because what we see in Psalm 103 is that David lists five benefits that we get to have part and take in when it comes to being part of God's family. And so five benefits here. And in fact, let's read these verses, then I'll kind of break them down. Psalm 103, starting in verse 1. Hopefully you have this memorized by now, but here's what he writes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, do not forget all his benefits. Everybody say benefits. I'll say it like you mean it, benefits. He says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Sounds pretty good, amen? We want all those things. We want to see those things in abundance in our lives. That's what we're talking about here. But it's interesting to know, I want to remind us of this every single week. David begins the psalm by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. He says it multiple times. Anytime you're reading a passage of scripture and you see something multiple times, God's trying to get our attention. Because here's what he's saying. He does not say, bless the benefits of the Lord, O my soul. Why? Because the benefits aren't his focus. He's not pursuing the benefits. He's pursuing the Lord and his relationship with the living God. And in doing so, he knows, when I bless the Lord, pursue him, chase after him, walk with him, commune with him, I get to take part of the family benefits, the covenant benefits that come with being a part of the family of God. So our focus must be the same. I want to reiterate this every single week. Our focus is not, I just want the benefits. No, the focus is the relationship. I want a stronger relationship with my Heavenly Father, and in doing so, I can have confidence in knowing I will experience the benefits that he has for me. Amen? Does that make sense? We're not pursuing the benefits, the gifts. We are pursuing the giver of the benefits. The Lord is our focus. Today, we're talking about the fourth one here, he who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, in Scripture, I only have 2 points for you today, okay? So in Scripture, there are actually two meanings or two symbols, basically, of crowns. And so we're going to talk about those two different things, because sometimes we'll read this, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and we'll just think to ourselves, oh, well, that's sweet, right? Oh, that sounds so nice. What does that mean, though, right? Rather than just saying, oh, that's sweet, that sounds nice, and move past it, what if we look at the original language, and today we're going to do that quite a bit, but I'm going to teach you a little bit. Look at the original language and find out the depth of what this simple sentence means, and I promise you it is life-changing. So there's two meanings to the word crown in Hebrew. The first symbol, basically, of being crowned is point number one. I am crowned with authority. Anytime we see crowns through Scripture, it represents authority. It represents someone who's in position to rule, someone who's in position to reign. And this may sound strange to you, but according to Scripture, I'm going to show you a lot today, you are crowned with authority for this life here on this earth. And I'm going to show you that today, because I think sometimes we've steered away from that, I think sometimes in the modern church, where we just kind of are surviving life, and whatever happens, happens, and we don't understand that God has given us authority to stand in. And that's really the point, is what I'm going to show you here today, is this: all authority is given. All authority is given. And so let me show you in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. And Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So, we know usually the last half of this verse. If you've been in church, you know the commission here. You understand that. But it's very strategic verbiage here that Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. And then he follows it with, go, therefore. Meaning, I have been given authority, and now I'm going to send you out as my disciples in a portion of the authority that I walk in. And let me show you here, or let me say it this way. It is Christ's authority, not our own. It's his authority that sends us. It's his authority that guides us. It's his authority that empowers us to continue his work and his mission as his disciples. This is what Jesus is revealing here. He's saying this. It is his authority that sends us, his authority that guides us, his authority that empowers us to continue in the mission, in the work as his disciples. He's simply saying and revealing to us, because I have authority, now I am sending you. Because I have authority, now I am sending you. So our authority, the authority that we have, it is given to us. And that's important to know, because otherwise we'll get off into pride and we'll think it's all about us and we will begin to exalt ourselves over our Savior, and that's not it. Our authority cannot be earned. It's not because of the job that I have authority. It's not because of the career that I've chosen, the age that I am, the personality that God's gifted me with. That's not why I get to have authority in this life. It is simply a gift when I choose to be a part of God's family, walk as a disciple of Jesus. He says, I'm going to equip you to do what I would do if I was still here on this earth, physically. He said, I'm going to give you my spirit so that you can do these same things. In order to do those same things, we're going to need some authority. In fact, what's interesting is when Jesus gave the commission to the disciples here that we're looking at, it wasn't something new for them. Jesus had practiced this multiple times in his ministry to say, I'm going to send you out to do the work that I would do and then come back and tell me how it went. And I'm going to do some training so that eventually I'm going to send you out, but I'm going to leave and leave you with my spirit. Look at Luke 9, starting in verse 1. It says, then Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. How many know that takes some authority, right? What does it say? He gave his disciples power and authority over all demons. Say all. All demons. And to do what? To heal the sick, to preach, to heal. That's going to take some authority. We can't do that on our own. Amen? We're not strong enough. We're not good enough. We don't have the power. But when I become a part of God's family, I get to have access to these things. In fact, let me show you again in Matthew 10, verse 8. Jesus says to his disciples, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Look at this. Freely you've received, now freely give. Freely you've received, now freely give. Now here's what you need to understand. This is still our job today. And I'm going to show you in just a second, because a lot of times we think, well, Jesus said that for his 12 and only for his 12. But I'm going to show you in New Testament scripture that how that is not, that's not true. We get to see how Jesus equipped his disciples, and then he sent them on the Great Commission to take it to all the world to equip them to do the same things. And so for us, he says, this is still our job today. In fact, when we get a building someday, I would love to have this verse plastered on the outside of our building or somewhere where you can see this every time you come into our space. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received. What have I received? Authority. Now I'm going to help minister that to other people and show them how they can walk in it as well. Jesus has commissioned us to go on his behalf and to continue to do what he would do if he was still here physically. He crowns us with authority. Okay, so then in this life, why do we need authority? One of the reasons we need authority is we need authority over sin and we need authority over death. So let me show you. In Romans 5:17, it talks about this exactly. Romans 5:17, so it's for the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule or have authority over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You will live in triumph over. That is to rule over, to have victory over. You must have authority over sin and death to have triumph over it. He's revealing to us, look, when Adam and Eve sinned, they brought sin into the world, along with it death. And at that point, it had the authority. It caused all kinds of harm, and it did all kinds of terrible things. But when Jesus came, and through his grace, he says, I'm going to give you authority to rule over sin and death. And so we're not here on this earth to let darkness rule over us with authority. We're not here to let darkness rule over us with authority. So when it starts to, and it will try. When things come against you and attacks happen and depression tries to cripple you and keep you from even getting out of bed because it's so heavy and it's so real and you're facing these anxiety attacks or you're facing something that's coming against you, it should be something inside of me that says, this isn't something for me just to receive. God's given me authority over sin and death and all that that brings with it. So Lord, help me walk and get healthy spiritually so I can walk in the authority you've given me. Christ, through his grace, has invited us into a life of triumph over sin and death. That's what scripture says. You've received it and you will live in triumph over sin and death. But triumph only comes when I receive the grace of God through faith in Christ Jesus. See, a lot of people are trying to win in this life without Jesus. A lot of people want victory in this life without Jesus, but Jesus says, red letters, look it up. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Yet we're trying to find all different ways to get to God. There's only one way. It's Jesus. And only through him can I have access to the fullness of the kingdom of God and the fullness of the spiritual realm of what he has for me. But it's only through him, not through a bunch of other ways. It's only through Jesus. In these positions of authority, scripture calls us kings and priests. Interesting verbiage. Let's look at it. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, this is speaking to Jesus. It says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. That's what we talked about last week, right? He has redeemed us. He's bought us back. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, where you've been, what you've done, doesn't matter. It's enough. His redemptive power is enough to save you. Verse 10, and I have made you, or have made us, kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Okay. Why kings and priests? Kings reign. Kings rule. They have authority. Priests, what's their job? To connect people to God. Kings reign, rule, they have authority. A priest connects people to God. So here's the big question. Why does God give us, why would he crown us with authority? What does that actually mean? Here's why. God wants you, according to the scriptures we just read, God wants you to be able to rule over sin and death in your life. And then be able to help others rule over sin and death in their life by connecting them to God. Why kings and priests? He wants it to go to work in your life. You need to find victory first. You need to find your identity in Christ first. Here's the problem. A lot of people will get saved and they don't have a foundation in themselves just yet, and they have a good heart, and what they'll try to do is they'll try to go and still hang out with their unsaved friends and try to get them saved, but they haven't even found themselves in Christ just yet. And if you've ever, if you've taken swimming lessons or any type of first aid, you understand this. One of the most dangerous things about saving someone who's drowning is the fact that if you don't know how to swim, they're gonna drown you too. A lot of times this is what happens in the spiritual realm. People are getting saved, but they're not a great swimmer just yet, right? They don't really know how to walk with God just yet, but they still have some friends, some relationships that are far from God, and they think, well, I'm going to get back in the water, and I'm going to try to save them like I've been saved. But here's what they need to understand. If I haven't found my identity in here just yet, and I haven't repented and really done a work in my life just yet, I'm going to get back in the spiritual water, and they're going to pull me down. So what do I need to do? Sometimes I need to have a little bit of separation so I can learn to swim, and then I can go and help people. That doesn't mean I can't pray for someone else to help those friends and relationships in my life. It just says you need to be careful that in the name of reaching people, that you're not going to parties or get-togethers or hanging out with people that you know when you're around them, they don't point you to Jesus. They only pull you away from him. That's a dangerous place to be. It's okay to say, you know what? I need some distance, and I need to find myself. I need to surround myself with people that are going to point me to Christ so I have enough strength that when the time comes up, I can save the people that are around me. Does that make sense? We are called kings and priests. It's going to go to work in my life first. I'm going to rule and reign over sin and death. I'm going to have authority over it. And then I'm going to help others. I'm going to connect them to God so they can find the freedom that they need as well. What did Jesus say? Freely you've received, now freely give. Kings, receive it. Priests, give it. Does that make sense? So you've been crowned with authority, not just someday, today, in this life. Because I don't need authority over sin and death in heaven. See what I'm saying? I do need it here, right? That's why Scripture says you will reign on this earth. You're going to need this authority here. Why do I need the authority to cast out demons? And not in heaven, I don't need that. I need that here. Why do I need authority to lay hands on the sick and they will recover? Not because there's sick people in heaven. No, I need it here. God has equipped us to do a work here. Amen? We got a job to do here. It's not time to sit on the sideline. I got something to do. I've been crowned with authority. When I understand that I've been crowned with authority, how can I look at my Savior and say, you know what, I'm just going to hang out over here, let other people minister and do the work to, you know, help people find Jesus. I'm just going to hang out over here and just hope I make it into heaven someday. Just survive this life. How can I? No, I can't. When I understand that God's paid that much for me to do something with it, I received freely. How can I not freely give this? Now I got a little bit of a fire in here and I say, you know what, I'm going to, Lord, show me what I can do. And I'm going to go to work no matter where I'm at. Doesn't matter what my job is. Doesn't mean you got to be in full-time ministry. It means oftentimes the most ministry that takes place is in the common workplace. Amen? All right, here we go. Point number two is this. I am surrounded with loving kindness and tender mercies. I am surrounded with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, that sounds interesting, but here's why I say that. One meaning or definition of crowned in the Hebrew language is to be surrounded. It's to be surrounded. And this is where it gets really interesting. See, we just read that we're crowned in loving kindness and tender mercies, and we think, oh, that's so sweet, right? But when I think about it and I say, if in the Hebrew language that means also to be surrounded by, I am surrounded with loving kindness and tender mercies. All right, let's take it a little bit deeper. The Hebrew word for loving kindness is translated as covenant loyalty. So again, we think, well, I'm surrounded by God's love. That's so sweet. Now, in the original Hebrew, loving kindness means covenant loyalty. Covenant loyalty. So this is what it means. He is loyal to surround you with all of his covenant promises. How good is our God? It's not just he surrounds me with his love. No, he's saying, I'm going to surround you with my covenant promises, and I'm loyal to do so. And his covenant promises are abundant from Old Testament to New Testament, the covenant that we have an access to. We know that we are above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. Everything I put my hand to, it will prosper. Amen? I have access to this. This verbiage too, as you get into it deeper and as you do a study on it, it was used to define his character. His character. Well, we understand this in Scripture that God has many names. Why does he have so many names? He has many names because he's trying to reveal his character to us. That he's not just God far off, but that he's God no matter what I am facing. That he's Jehovah. Yes, he's my God, but he's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Lord, I'm in need right now. I don't know how we're going to make ends meet right now. Lord, I'm struggling right now. He says, I can provide for that. I'm Jehovah Jireh. He's revealing his character to us. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Lord, I'm sick. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I have pain in my body. I have a disease that I'm facing. He says, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah. I will step into whatever situation you're facing, and I will surround you with all of my covenant promises. I am Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. I will give you peace. Are you battling anxiety? Are you battling these attacks coming against you? Guess what? You have a God, a living God, who will step into those darkest moments where you are there and you have the pressure on your chest and you don't know what you're going to do. Guess what? You have a God who is right there, and he says, I want to breathe peace into this situation with you. That's the God that we serve. Those are the promises that he wants to surround you with, that he's Jehovah Nissi. He is the banner that we fight under. No matter what I face, no matter what comes my way, I have a banner of victory that I can raise up and say, I'm fighting on this side. And because I have a covenant relationship with my Heavenly Father, his word says he surrounds me, crowns me with loving kindness, covenant loyalty. See how much deeper that is? When we understand the depth of Scripture, English language has cheated us on so much of who God really is, if we're being honest. But when you begin to study, and there's so many great resources out there, if anything, use the Blue Letter Bible app, blueletterbible.com. If you Google it, it'll show up. There's an app for it as well. It has a ton of free resources. You can see it in the original language, and everything I'm talking about today, you can see it. Go search these verses. It's amazing. So we see this verbiage, though, over and over in the book of Psalms. And so in Psalm 25, verse 6, it says this: remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness. What's he saying? Remember, Lord, your covenant loyalty to me, for they are from old. Meaning what? They've stood the test of time. It's not something new. David understood it's not something new. It's been around, and I know it's been around. I've heard the stories, and I'm believing that those stories are true for me. How did David understand and have the confidence to go and face a giant? As a young boy, he knew covenant. He knew God was loyal to his covenant, and that's why he went out. Psalm 40, verse 11 says this. It says, do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. That's God's desire. Is that his covenant promises would continually preserve you. Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Scripture tells us that we can remind God of his word. Why? Because he forgets? Absolutely not. But I think God loves to hear his word in our mouths. This is exactly what he's doing here in the psalmist. This is exactly what he's doing. He's saying, according to, Lord, I'm praying this prayer according to your character. Now, he didn't have a Bible like we had, but guess what? We do. So now I can stand in faith, whatever I'm facing, and I can stand in faith and I can pray for something and I can say, Lord, I'm believing this according to this scripture. I'm believing this according to your word. I'm believing this according to what you promised for me to have in this life. And you see, when I pray that way, I have so much more faith. It builds my faith in such a way where I can understand, Lord, according to your word, you said this. So now I'm not praying if it's God's will. I don't know if it is or not. I'm praying in according to God's will. How much more faith do I have to say, Lord, according to your will, let it be done? So David constantly wrote about these things. He constantly wrote about the love and the mercy and the covenant, because I believe that he understood that he was given an abundance of grace on his life when he did not deserve it. How much more should we be talking about his mercy, his grace, his loving kindness, his covenant towards us? How much more should we be talking about it? We don't deserve it either, but it should be constantly upon our lips. God desires to surround you with his goodness. And I would even take it a step further and say, God desires to overtake you with his goodness. In fact, look at Psalm 23. Most people know this if you've been in church. Psalm 23, verse 6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's go to the original language, right? Follow me. That phrase, follow me, means to chase after and to overtake. To chase after and to overtake. How much more does that scripture mean to me now? Right? Lord, let your goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. That sounds good, and I want that. However, our God is not just casually watching over our life. Our God, your Heavenly Father, is passionately pursuing and watching over your life. He's not at a distance somewhere. And this is the problem. So many people that have run from God and are far from God, they're running from a God that's been misrepresented to them. Because what they don't understand is, according to Scripture, right here we see it, if they would stop running and they would turn around, his goodness and his mercy would catch them and overtake them. They think, if I stop running, God's just going to come down and smack me over the head and tell me how bad I've been and tell me that I'm going to hell, and that's how it's going to go. They don't understand. They're running from a God that's been misrepresented. But our heart is that we would reveal to them that you have a loving Heavenly Father. And if you would stop running, just stop for a second and just turn slightly, like the prodigal son, I promise you, he is chasing after you and he wants to overtake you, according to what we see in Scripture. So being surrounded by God's goodness, it reminds us that we are never alone. No matter what, you're never alone. In fact, it reminds me of a story in 2 Kings chapter 6, where the king of Aram, he sends an army to surround and to destroy Elisha, the man of God. I'm going to read a part of this story here. In 2 Kings 6, starting in verse 14, it says, so one night the king of Aram, he sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and he went outside, there were troops, there were horses, there were chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Verse 16, don't be afraid, Elisha told them, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha, it was filled with horses and chariots of fire. What's he praying here? He's saying, look, Lord, open his eyes so he can see into the spiritual realm. So he can see into the spiritual realm. See, here's what happens. We think this realm that we can touch and see and interact, we think this is the real thing. We have to remember, this spiritual realm created this realm. So which one is more real? Right? Gavin loves Star Wars, okay? George Lucas created Star Wars. What's more real? George Lucas or Star Wars? The person, right? He created it. The spiritual realm created this realm. And so many times we have sight to see things in front of us, and that's what crushes us. The diagnosis, the relationship problems, the issue, the anxiety that I feel in my body, the hopelessness, the purpose, I don't have any purpose. I have these things that I can feel and I can sense and I can smell and I can see it, and it feels so real. But my prayer is that we would have God's vision, not sight. We don't want man's sight. We want God's vision. Because when I have God's vision, I see into the spiritual realm. That's a gift of the Spirit. I have a spiritual discernment is what it's called. Literally translated, spiritual x-ray vision. Lord, help me see things the way you see things. See, Elisha understood this and he showed it to his servant. He said, look, man, yeah, this looks bad. I'm not denying that it looks bad. But we have more on our side. They were physically surrounded by an enemy. But they were also spiritually surrounded by the armies of heaven. They were physically surrounded by an enemy, and that's maybe how you feel this morning. It's all around you. Everywhere you look, it's something else and something's going wrong, and it's the same problem you've always been facing. But I'm here to remind you that you are also surrounded by the armies of heaven if your faith is in Jesus. You may feel like Elisha's servant this morning. And you woke up, even this morning you woke up and you said, what am I going to do now? How am I going to get out of this mess that I'm in? How am I going to survive this season? How am I going to have the faith to face tomorrow? How am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to get past the sickness? Friends, my prayer for you that today is what Elisha prayed. Lord, open their eyes and let them see. Open their eyes and let them see. Because you might be facing something extremely difficult. And I'm not denying that. Neither did Elisha. He saw. but he acknowledged the armies of heaven who were about to work on his behalf. And that's my prayer for you, is that no matter what you're facing, Lord, open their eyes and let them see. It may seem dark and it may seem tough. Maybe it is. But God, show them your victory. Show them who's fighting on their behalf. My prayer is that you wouldn't let fear and what you see in the natural give you spiritual paralysis. Don't let what you see in the natural cause you to freeze in fear. Rather, let's remember what God's word said. Let's build our faith through his word so we can develop spiritual vision and be reminded of who's on my side. One pastor said it this way, I love this. He said, stop telling God how big the storm is and start telling the storm how big your God is. Amen. How many times do we bring our problems to God and we almost exalt our problems over God and say, God, this is big and it's so bad and it looks awful. And maybe it is big, bad, and it feels awful. But what if we switched our prayers and we put on a crown of authority that's been given to us? And we say, Lord, according to your word, I can walk in victory. Lord, according to your word, your promises says that I can have freedom from this. Lord, according to your word, I don't care how big this seems, you're bigger and you're greater and you have more for me. Stop telling God how big the storm is. Start telling the storm how big your God is. 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When I put my faith in Jesus, I become a part of his family. And guess what? Now I get access to family benefits. And in doing so, he has a crown that he wants to give us. Psalm 103, it lists these benefits of being this crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. And it's not this nice little phrase that we just breeze past, but the whole benefit that we're talking about today, the benefit is of us living a victorious life here on this earth and doing something with it. Not just living free from problems. No, we're gonna have problems that show up. You're gonna have things that happen. You're gonna have times where you don't know what to do except to run and to get on your knees and pray. It's gonna happen. Even Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble. Not you might, you will. But how do we respond? I have a benefit that I've been crowned with something. For God, he has made us kings and priests and crowned us with authority. We're not here to survive this life or arrive safely at death someday. We're here to do kingdom work until our Lord Jesus returns. We're here to rule over sin and death as he's commanded us to as kings. And we're here to connect others to God as priests. God has surrounded us with his goodness. You may be facing something extremely difficult in the natural, a diagnosis, a grief from losing a loved one, anxiety, depression, maybe a lack of confidence or hopelessness. You may be facing something and you can feel it and you can sense it and you can see it. You can hold it in your hands maybe. But no matter what you're facing in the natural, you have a God who is surrounding you with loving kindness, covenant, loyalty, and tender mercies. That means this, you have spiritual warriors, spiritual horses, spiritual chariots of fire, the armies of heaven, that not at our command, but at his command can go to work on your behalf. That's the God that we serve. You have a God who is greater than anything you'll face. And as a member of his family, you get the privilege to live in his victory. Man, don't forget how amazing this benefit is. It's so personal to us, because here's why. And I'll close with this. Our Heavenly Father took a righteous crown off of his son and he put it on you. And then in doing so, he took a crown of thorns that was meant for you and he put it on his son. See, this idea of the crown, it's not just something that sounds good. It's personal. He took a righteous crown and he put it on your head. Guess what? We didn't deserve it. But he loved us enough to say, I'll make a way. And he took the crown of thorns, which we deserved, and he put it on his own son. And now you can be crowned with authority and you can be surrounded with his goodness everywhere that you go. You're never alone. Part of the family of God, and with this family comes amazing benefits. How good is our God? Let me pray. Lord, we love you. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. We love you so much. Lord, I thank you for your many benefits. Lord, we don't deserve all of these benefits, but Lord, I thank you that you're so good. You're so abundant. You're overflowing in love and mercy for us. And God, I thank you that you're a God of covenant. You don't take it lightly, but you take it seriously. And so God, I thank you that you've made a way for us to experience your goodness, not just someday in heaven, but today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a crown of authority to rule over sin and death. We don't have to be afraid of it. We don't have to be bossed around by it. And God, I thank you that you surround us with your loving kindness, your tender mercies, your goodness everywhere that we go. We're always surrounded, and no matter what we face today, no matter what we came in thinking about today, we may be surrounded, but Lord, I thank you that you surround our enemies. We may be surrounded, but you also surround our enemies, and you're working on our behalf. God, thank you. You're so good. We love you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Abide Church podcast. If you'd like to partner with us financially, or if you're in the Tulsa area and would like to attend our weekly gathering, you can check out abidechurch.com.